Good evening and welcome to another special edition, election edition of Making the Connection. I'm KRCB News Director Bruce Robinson, and tonight we're talking with the two candidates for the 3rd District seat on the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors that represents primarily Santa Rosa and Rohnert Park. And a reminder, next Thursday we'll continue with an in-studio debate on Measure Q, the smart rail train measure. That'll conclude this series of programs on October 2nd. That one will be on a little earlier at 5:30 p.m., right before the vice presidential candidates debate, which should make for a lively evening. Right now, I'd like to welcome candidates Sharon Wright and Shirley Zane to the KRCB studios. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks.
In the recent past, the 3rd District Supervisor, representing the urban core of the county, has tended to concentrate on some of the broad countywide issues that affect all 5 districts. One of those is certainly health care. Costs are continuing to rise, and so is demand, and the clock is ticking on the county's deal with Sutter to operate the major local hospital. So what can and should the county do to ensure that affordable health care remains available for local residents? And Sharon Wright, I'll let you take the first crack at that.
Sure. Well, the county has a health care access agreement with Sutter Hospital, and they've done a good job at holding their feet to the fire on that, and that is partially to take care of the indigent and continue with everything that's in that health care access agreement. I think that we are in a stage right now, in a process right now of reinventing how we deliver health care in a lot of ways. And one is, how do we minimize the use of our acute care hospitals? I was on the board of directors for Memorial for a while, and I know that they've been focusing on urgent care. So that people that don't necessarily need to use the emergency room can use the urgent care facilities that are being located throughout the county. The other facility that is excellent, I had a great tour there a few weeks ago, is the Southwest Health Clinic. They see over 200,000, they have over 200,000 visits in a year. And most of their patients are the clients that come there are Medi-Cal patients or the uninsured. They are severely, severely constrained in the facility that they're in. And one of the priorities I think we need to look at is helping them find a new location so that they can be more accessible and serve more people.
Is that a way for the county to step in and play a more active role?
Well, to me, government can't do anything, can't do everything. I think we need to look more and more at building partnerships and building it with the local hospitals and the small district hospitals. And we need to partner up with all of them to make sure that we have affordable health care for all of our citizens.
That is the goal. Shirley Zane, what steps would you take to push that goal?
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. Well, first of all, I do think that the county could actually do a better job of holding Sutter accountable. I think a lot of those healthcare workers, et cetera, are going out the back door because the county didn't let them go out the front door because it threatened them with a lawsuit. But what we have seen is a lot of them left when they announced that they were going to close the hospital. And since then, they've also laid off 20% of their hospital employees. So that's pretty significant. And I think the county could do a better job holding them accountable. They are under contract for another 8 years. I've spent my whole life in health and human services. I actually served on the Southwest Healthcare Clinic Board and was a provider at the Alliance Medical Clinic. And I think we need to do a better job supporting both our district hospitals and our federally qualified healthcare clinics like Southwest and Alliance.
What form would you like to see that support take?
Well, I think, again, through partnerships possibly, and possibly even funding if need be. I mean, right now, there's only a very small amount of money that comes out of the general fund that goes into the Department of Healthcare Services for the county. Most of that funding comes through the state and comes through the feds. I think the other thing that is really crucial to say here in terms of healthcare, until we get a national health care system, and I've been a huge advocate for many years of that, and people can even read my article that was in the Press Democrat about national health care on my website, that I think until we get that, we need to really focus on a prevention model and make sure that every single resident here in Sonoma County has a family health care provider home, somebody that they can go and see, whether it's a nurse practitioner or internist or family medicine doctor. doctor, but somebody that they have a relationship with that will provide them ongoing care.
The related question then comes up for mental health services. There's been a lot of outcry over the cutbacks in those services in the last few years. Shirley, do you think they should be restored, or do current economic realities mean that they're gone for good?
We absolutely have to restore them. I've been a mental health provider for many years, and at the Council on Aging, we actually provide a $100,000 mental health program for older adults, a peer supporter program. And I think it's a travesty right now that if you have a psychiatric break and you need to be hospitalized, they ship you out of the county because there is no inpatient psychiatric care. Now, with that said, I want to say that what we need to do is spend more money up front in terms of early intervention and prevention in terms of mental health. That is a cost-effective model. So we need to put more money in that regard, and we need to make sure that we don't cut line staff when we do have to make cuts at the county. We need to look at the overhead, and there's a bureaucratic creep that often goes on in government, and government often becomes very top-heavy in terms of management and management salaries. But line staff, they're the ones that provide the crucial services to the community. I'm in favor of restoring mental health care cuts. Thank you.
Sharon Wright, mental health care in Sonoma County, big need, big budget.
Absolutely. I've told the story, and I won't go into great detail, but we had a personal experience where my daughter-in-law's father last year tried to commit suicide. There was nowhere for him to go. He was able to stay at Memorial Hospital for 24 hours. He was shipped out of the county. They were only able to keep him 72 hours. There is a huge deficit. Well, actually, there are no psychiatric acute beds for psychiatric. Art Ewart is doing a great job. He's head of mental health for the county. And my understanding, there's going to be an announcement fairly soon where there'll be a deal reached or some program that will provide those acute care facilities. But we need to do more. We need more psychiatric professionals here. There was a period of time when the psychiatric wing over at off of Fulton campus that Memorial was running, they only had one psychiatrist. They were almost forced to close down because they didn't have anyone to man it. We need to be working again as a team, as a community, to find ways to entice and incentivize psychiatric care professionals to come here, and we do need that full cycle of care. One of the real travesties, there's not a straight line to any of the dollars, whether it's mental health or transportation or criminal justice, but right now our jail is serving as the de facto facility for treating the mental health. There's one pod.
Nobody's happy about that.
No, and it's not efficient in any way. They're getting absolutely the poorest service they could probably get. That's a travesty. And they're very expensive dollars to keep them incarcerated. And they're retrofitting another pod at the jail for mental health because there's nowhere else to put them.
One of many problems that next supervisor gets to wrestle with. What fun. It's been well established that Sonoma County's demographics are changing and our population is increasing Latino and birth rates are accelerating that change. A significant portion of that population segment has been asking the county to take a position of neutrality rather than active cooperation with raids being conducted by federal immigration and custom enforcement officers, the ICE officers. Sharon Wright, do you think we should be using local law enforcement funds to enable those national actions?
The national actions, no, I don't. I support the current policy that the county has, and that is we acknowledge the significant contribution that Latinos in particular make in this community. They are a key part of our economic engine, and it is my understanding, and I believe it to be true, that we don't do raids. I don't support the raids. I believe in instead, what the policy is if there is an illegal immigrant that commits a crime and then is booked into jail, it is that time and that time only that they will be asked for their citizenship, and if they're not a citizen, then they send them back. I think that they're valuable citizens of this community. It's like health care. We need major national reform. Fortunately, both of the candidates for president have committed to do that, and it needs to start in Washington and come down, but until then, we're going to be putting Band-Aids on it.
Shirley Zane, the ICE raids and the role of the sheriff's office in their
Well, my understanding is that there have been some ICE raids, and it's very, very frightening to the Latino community. Of course, picking up somebody who has committed a crime is a whole different story, but I do not support ICE raids in any way. I just think that they're an unethical way of dealing with the immigration issue. Right now, it takes almost 13 years for somebody to become a legalized citizen. I'm actually married to an immigrant from Great Britain, and it took him a long time,
actually.
Too. We have that in common, Bruce. And no, I think we need a safe and sane pathway because about 80% or more, when they do research on immigrants, they don't want to go back and forth. They want to stay here. They want to better their lives. That's why they're here. We're a country of immigrants. That's who we are as America. And we need to find a safe and sane way to encourage people to become citizens. That's really what I'm in favor of. And I've worked in the Latino community for many, many, many years and lived also in Latin America. Can speak Spanish fluently. And I have to tell you, the Latino families that I have known and loved for so many years are some of the most dearest, hardworking families I've ever met. And I have nothing but complete and utter respect for them. And they are our future workforce, too. We need to pay attention to that in terms of the economy.
Not just the future.
Yeah, they are now. That's right. And very much the future, but very much now. Yeah.
We've been talking about countywide issues, but there is one local one that is somewhat specific to the 3rd District in this election. I'm talking about Measure L in Roanoke Park. That would roll back the city's sewer rates to where they were at the beginning of 2006. So I'm going to ask each of you, do you support or oppose Measure L? And Shirley, I'm going to ask you first.
I'm staying neutral on Measure L. This is not an issue that I would have any power on in terms of the Board of Supervisors. And I've been talking to people on both sides for several months now. I think it's a really complex issue. Certainly, the city is very concerned about their financial sustainability and health. And also, as I knock on people's doors, residents are very concerned about their steep increases in their sewer rates and that they feel very strongly that those are based upon overdevelopment. So I have just decided that I need to stay neutral on this because I really don't have any power over it, and I've listened to both sides.
Sharon Wright, are you on the fence or you picked a side?
Oh, no, I'm not on the fence at all. I oppose Measure L. I was on the Santa Rosa City Council when we built the wastewater treatment facility for the whole sub-regional system, of which Roanoke Park is a part of it. And it's nothing is easy. They're all complex issues. But the fact of the matter is that commitments have been made, obligations have been made. It would almost be like saying, I bought my house, and so I moved into the house, but I've decided there's parts of it I don't like, so I'm not gonna pay my mortgage anymore. We just don't get to do that. And the ramifications of Measure L, if that were to pass, we have seen throughout the state of California, the Regional Water Quality Board has already sent the city of Roanoke Park a letter putting them on notice that they will hold them responsible. Dixon had a similar measure before them. The city has already been fined $800,000. There's another city, and I don't remember the name, in the Central Valley that the citizens voted in a rollback. They have been fined by the Regional Water Quality Control Board $1.3 million. It could potentially bankrupt the city of Roanoke Park. I think it would be irresponsible to. I understand that the economic issue, and these are tough economic times. But it's going to be an issue of, do you want to pay now or you do want to pay later? Because the water has to come from somewhere and the water has to go somewhere. And I think one of the factors that we have to keep in mind with when you look at this and where the water goes, the treated wastewater. It's a valuable resource, and it is going, it's being pumped up to the geysers. It is a clean energy resource, and it is now, we have clean energy, renewable energy, that is now serving over 150,000 households.
This is a ways away from the Roanoke Park rates.
Well, but they're part of it. They're 18% of that system. So they have an obligation. We've sold the bonds, and they have an obligation to repay that.
It's interesting to me that the city of Dixon is being cited by both sides in this one. I guess it's complicated over there, too. If you're just joining us, this is Making the Connection, an election special tonight here on KRCB. I'm Bruce Robinson, and talking tonight with the two candidates for the Mid-County seat on the Board of Supervisors, Shirley Zane and Sharon Wright. It's been suggested that the biggest part of being a county supervisor is acting as one of the five directors of a large, complex organization. The county is clearly one of our biggest employers. So, Sharon, do you support a living wage for all that county workforce?
Well, I support a living wage with a small L on a double, and a small W. I want people to be able to live here, to be able to support their families here. I think the county has done a pretty good job. I don't have the numbers of how many would fall under that, but right now the figure that's being put out is $15 an hour. To me, and I've talked to some economists, I've done some research on it. When I was on the Santa Rosa City Council, we had it before us a number of times. It is nothing but a locally mandated minimum wage. And minimum wage was never intended to be a living wage. A minimum wage is for entry-level positions, for kids like my kids and yours to be lifeguards, for people who have disabilities that just, you know, want to be able to make a contribution and be self-sustaining. So I do not support the living wage with a capital L on a capital W. I do support making sure that to the best of our ability, that we pay our citizens or our employees the best that we can. When we looked at it in Santa Rosa a few years ago, the city of Santa Rosa contracted with Volunteer Wheels to do our paratransit service, and we were told that the Volunteer Wheels, it would cost them over $350,000 a year to do that, and I think this is the absolutely wrong thing at the wrong time in the economy that we have today.
Yes. Shirley Zane, you'd like to comment on the living wage?
I absolutely would. I'm absolutely in favor of the living wage. And we are right now, I believe there's at least three or possibly even four cities in our county, Sebastopol, Sonoma, and Petaluma, who've passed living wage ordinances. And I'm glad that Sharon did bring up the paratransit services, because the city of Santa Rosa asked me a couple of years ago to help them rewrite the contract and hire the new paratransit service. And the reason why they asked me to help them is because there had been so many complaints. The service was incredibly poor. Well, at that time, those bus drivers were being paid $9 an hour. And they weren't very good bus drivers. They didn't show respect for the disabled or the seniors that they were driving around in the buses. And there was a lot of attrition. Well, I said, if you're going to strengthen this contract and make this a really good service for the vulnerable population it serves, you need to start those bus drivers at the same wage that the city bus drivers start at, which is $15 an hour, living wage. They did that very thing. They bumped their salaries up to $15 an hour, and that contract, let me tell you, that service has changed 100%. They went from getting like over 100 complaints a month to almost none. And clearly, the salary had a lot to do with it. I think it's really important to say, too, because I don't want small businesses to be frightened by the living wage, that if the county passed a living wage ordinance, it would be applied to the county employees and the businesses that the county contracted with. So it's not going to necessarily impact a small business owner that has six employees. Now, there's a lot of small business owners out there that care deeply about their employees and pay them living wages already without any type of mandate. But do I support the living wage for the county? Absolutely. It's the right thing to do.
There's also the related question of retirement benefits for the county workforce, and that's a big cost. The county has made a commitment in some cases, but there's a two-part issue, it seems to me. One is how to deal with the benefits that are already on the books, and then what sort of future benefit commitments should be made to the current workforce. So how would you approach that, Shirley Zane?
Well, I absolutely opposed what the county chose to do, which is to cut the benefits over a period of time in exchange for $500 a month. That just is not reasonable in these times in terms of what health care costs. And I think the really tragedy of what happened was that these county employees retired with these economic assumptions. And not only that, but they made economic concessions, too. They didn't take wage increases in exchange change for having those benefits and benefits for their spouses. Some of them are facing horrible stories of health care crises in terms of having pre-existing conditions, heart disease, all kinds of things, MS, and not having those benefits there for them anymore. So I absolutely opposed it, and I opposed it because it was a 30-year projection in terms of the accounting factor, and the county did not have to react immediately to the 30-year projection. They could have dealt with the issue in so many different ways in terms of running the numbers, and they could have absolutely dealt with that deficit in terms of creating a trust fund through some reserve funding, having the county employees and the current and the retirees take a greater share of cost, as well as pushing back the retirement age too. I mean, you know, retiring at 50 just is not reasonable anymore. So there were a lot of different ways that they could have dealt with it. I opposed it, and I'm proud to have the endorsement of the Sonoma County retiree employees.
Sharon Wright, the whole employee retirement question, it's got a big price tag and a lot of complicated ramifications. How would you approach it?
Well, if I had been on the board at that time, everyone would have been at the table. I do think that it was a short-sighted of the board not to have the retirees at the table. They're not represented. It was my understanding that both Rod Dole and Bill Cogbell had some programs that would have been much more palatable, probably affordable. I think that it is a shared problem, and it needs to be a shared solution. I've always supported interest-based negotiations. I believe that there are other alternatives that they can look at. They have one Cadillac program that's being offered. And so one way that's been suggested to me, and I would support that, is that they look at a lesser level of health care. You don't need a Cadillac anymore. But I do think once you make a commitment, you need to follow through on it. And of course, the big issue with the health care is midflation. Who's going to assume the full accountability or the full responsibility and the risk for the inflation on the medical care? And I think that needs to be shared. One of the things that I was surprised to hear from the retirees the other day is we know that they exchanged having lifetime health benefits for not taking pay increases, but they also didn't get any COLA raises along with their retirement benefits. And I think that was a huge concession and something that needs to be part of the equation. And when we come to discuss it again, and if I'm fortunate enough to be on the Board of Supervisors, I will be one of the first ones to say we need to revisit this.
So far, we've talked about a number of things that have costs associated with them, the health care, mental health, all of these things. Yet the revenue stream for the county doesn't seem to be surging up at the same pace. So I'm going to ask each of you, and Sharon, you're on first. Where do we pull in our horns a little bit as a county to offset some of these other costs that are going up?
Well, that's what I've said. We've got to do something to align our expenses with our incomes. We've got to live in our means, just like we do in our own homes. I think that we need to look at efficiencies, and that there's a number of ways to do that. One of the things that the county did when they did their strategic plan last year was to look, as you said earlier, with what are our changing demographics. We know that we're going to have a more aging population. We've got a higher Latino population coming, and what are some of the ways that we can generate funds? What are we going to do generate the money to serve them? And one of the things that was suggested that we look at contracting with some of our nonprofits. There are services that are being provided that are duplicative that we could very well put more money into the mix and stimulate the economy and lighten the load with the county. I think that we have more and more opportunities, and it's going to be more and more necessary for us to build partnerships. We can't just think within our city boundaries. We have to think more regionally, and we have to partner more regionally. I'll just throw in one other thing for an example.
Specifics are always good.
They are good. I'll wait for your smart question. I'm assuming you'll get there. But to me, one of the key things that we can do and we should be looking at is we have seven transit systems in Sonoma County. That just doesn't make any sense. You can go down Mendocino Avenue any one day, and you're going to see a Santa Rosa City bus, and right behind it's going to be a Sonoma County Transit, and there might even be a Golden Gate right behind it. I think we need to look at consolidation of our transit system. NAPA did it a few years ago very successfully. It's going to allow us to do the things that we want to do, which is reduce our greenhouse emissions by the goals that we've set, to make alternative transportation more attractive, more feasible, and I think it'll make SMART much more attractive and feasible as well.
Shirley Zane, big budget, big headache. Where would you would you apply the aspirin?
I manage a multi-million-dollar budget every single day, so I have hands-on experience, and these are always tough choices. And I think whenever you have a deficit, you look at two things. You look at how you cut expenses and how you generate new sources of income. Diversified income is always what's going to keep you healthy. And I think there are sources of income. There are people right now who are getting services, mental health services and substance abuse services, who have insurance, and those insurance companies are not being billed. That would be a source of income I would certainly want to look at. I think there's probably some waste perhaps going on, and in terms of, again, the bureaucratic creep in terms of management overhead. We need to every now and then do audits of departments, and we need to at least entertain the idea of consolidating big departments to eliminate costly overhead. A lot of counties do have departments of health and human services together. This county actually has two different departments. They have one department of health services and one of human services. And, you know, that at least needs to be explored and looked at. And then the third thing that I would really want to look at is the unfunded mandates. And what I mean by that is that the state and the federal government is constantly telling the counties that they have to do certain things, but they don't fund them for it. So I have dealt with these many times because I do get federal and state funding at the Council on Aging, and I have $1 million contract through the county. And you have to fight back on some of those unfunded mandates. You have to say, if you're not going to fund us for this, we're not necessarily going to do it. And look at what are some of those mandates that we can actually challenge the state and the feds with.
Some mandates aren't actually mandated?
They're mandated, but they're not being paid for, and that's where they can be challenged.
You alluded to it, so let me ask my SMART question. I thought they were all pretty smart.
Yeah, but with all
notwithstanding
capitals.
That. So which of you is more in favor of it?
That's going to be an arm wrestle there. I think we're both entirely in favor of it. My husband, again, is from England, so we travel on trains whenever we go over there, and I love trains. The only thing I want to say about SMART is that I wish we had it 50 years ago.
Sharon, your thoughts on SMART?
Well, I was on the first SMART board. I served on the Metropolitan Transportation Commission and the Sonoma County Transportation Authority. Its time has come, and I think it's going to be a great commute tourism vehicle for us. I think I'm optimistic it'll pass this time, and I think it's going to open up a whole lot of opportunities for freight, which is going to be another part of the economic engine that's going to be a real plus for us. So I agree. I don't think you'll find many that are on the campaign trail in Sonoma County these days that aren't in favor of SMART. It's the right thing to do and at the right time.
The problem seems to lie to the south of Petaluma.
It does indeed.
So how do we, in Sonoma County, reach out to our neighbors to the south to ratchet things up to that two-thirds majority?
I would lobby very heavily in the city of Novato, for one, because we know there's been some resistance there. And the other thing, too, is that I know that Marin County Sierra Club is on the wrong side of the issue on this one, I believe, and they've actually opposed SMART, and not Sonoma County Sierra Club. They are in favor of it. So I think doing some lobbying of some of those organizations, too, that might have some pull there in Marin County. Because not only will SMART reduce the traffic congestion by 1.4 million automobile rides a year, but it's also going to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions. So it's good for the environment, too.
Advocating this, or are you doing this?
Well, I'm not. I'm advocating this right now. I'm on the campaign trail, but I think it's going to pass also.
All right. And Sharon, anything we can do to reach out to Marin voters?
Well, we've been trying, and a lot of folks that are much more influential than us have been trying for some time. I think you always have to provide some level of incentives, and I think that's going to be the challenge, just to give them a reason to support it other than it's just the right thing to do.
Good. And that about does it for tonight. So in a week, we will talk about SMART in greater detail with the advocates on either side of that issue. A reminder, that will start at 5:30 p.m. rather than 6:30 because the national vice presidential campaign is coming up at 6 next Thursday. So it'll be a lively night, and we invite you to join in then. Thank you very much to our guests this evening, Sharon Wright and Shirley Zane, the candidates for the 3rd District Supervisor. Appreciate your being here tonight.
Thank you, Bruce.
This program this evening has been recorded on both audio and video, and both will be posted on the elections page at the KRCB website. That's krcb.org. You'll find it there with our two previous Supervisor candidate election campaign conversations. So if you or anyone else wants to see what you've missed or what the candidates have to say, it's all there on the elections page at krcb.org. This has been a production of KRCB News. I'm Bruce Robinson. Thank you very much for listening, and good night.